And we will start with day four. So day four starts with the talk about the lights. That's the main thing we're going to talk about tonight, is the creation of the lights, the sun, the moon, the stars. We'll talk about it. But we'll start day four like we started the other day, by reading through the verses very simply, and then we'll talk about some of the questions, and then we'll go through point by point. Slightly different, that might be a little bit more broken up tonight, more four or five different segments, but we'll see how much time, what we get through. So the beginning of day four, if everybody has a chumash, the beginning of day four is verse 14, chapter 1, verse 14, and it starts like this, Vayom Elokim, that God said, Yehi Ma'oros, there should be light. Take a look at that word Ma'oros, very strange word for lights. Right? We would say light as Orim. That's how you would translate. The Hebrew word for light would be Orim. Ma'oros is there should be things giving off light, which is strange. But we'll talk about that. Another thing that's missing in the word Ma'oros is a Vav. It's just Ma'oros. Mem Aleph, Reish Saf. It doesn't have a plural verse in it, Vav, which is also interesting. We'll see if we have time. Berakia Hashamayim. And this, where should these lights be? We're going to put all these lights in the Rakia. Now the Rakia, if we remember, was created on day two. The Rakia is the firmament, and that's like the heaven, the hard stuff that separates the waters on top from the waters on the bottom. So what was created on day two was this Rakia. And now we're being told that God said that these lights should be put into the Rakia. In this firmament should be the lights. So we have a connection over here between the lights and the Rakia. And what's the purpose of these lights? Lahavdol, to make a separation between a yom and a laila. They should separate between day and between night. Vahayu, and they should be four things now. Laosos as signs. It should be as signs. It should be as ulamoadim. It should be as festivals. Times, another word for times. Well, liyamim for days, v'shanamim for years. So four functions of these lights is for signs, for times, for days, and for years. We'll talk about those four, what they are. V'hayu l'ma'oroth b'irki ha'shamayim, and they should be lights in the firmament of the heaven. L'har al-arts, they should give light to earth, which seemingly sounds very superfluous, because if there are lights, then they will give light. But God said, no, there should be lights, and these lights should shine onto earth. And it was so. Then it goes and says, Vayas Elokim, and God created as Shnei HaMa'oros HaGdolim, the two big lights. Now, are these the same lights of the beginning, or are they different lights? Already said that God said there should be lights, and now it says he made these two lights. And then it goes and says, this Ma'or HaGdol, the big light, which we know as the sun, Lememshelas HaYom, the big light to rule by day, but it's Ma'or HaKaton, and the small light, which we know as the moon, Lememshelas HaLaila, to rule at night, the Esak Echavim, and the stars. So we have the sun, the moon, and we have the stars. Where did God put them? Vayitenos HaMalekim, and God put them Berakia HaShemayim. So he put them in the Rakia, in the firmament. We have to know why. Once again, what did he do with them? L'ha'ir al ha'aretz, that they should give light to earth. V'limshol bayom uvalayla, they should rule over day and overnight. So besides for these lights giving off light, they also have a certain ownership. They have a certain mamshala. Have a certain rulership, have a kingship that they do over the day and over the night. We'll talk about it. A third function that they do is to make a separation. So besides for them giving light, besides for them ruling, they make a separation between day and between night, between light and between darkness. And God saw that this was good. What was good about it? We'll have to see. And there's evening and there was day, and this is our fourth day. So, pretty interesting day. We have the commandments to, God said there should be light. The light is in the firmament. It makes signs, it makes times, days, years. God made two of them. We have to know why he made two. He made a sun, he made a moon, he made stars. He put them and he commanded them to give light to the earth. And then they're going to rule over the earth. And they're going to make a separation. God saw it was good, and that is day four. All right? We got our work cut out for us. So let's start like this. The first point that we need to start exploring is, if you look at right at the beginning of verse 14, it says, Yehi Me'oros. There should be lights. Now, the word Yehi In Hebrew translation, Yehi is singular. It's not plural. Yehi, it should be. Yehi means that whatever singular thing you're talking about should be. But if you're talking about plural things, if we were to be trying to say that two things should be, then we would actually say Yehi, you, they should be. So Yehi is actually a singular way of talking. And the question is, what do you mean? But we have the sun and we have the moon and the stars. So we definitely don't have one thing giving light. We have at least two and the stars, which is way more than that. So what does it mean, Yehi? Then the next word is ma'oros, lights. Lights is plural. So it should be lights is an impossible statement, right? The literal translation of this verse is Yehi ma'oros, is it, the one thing, should be lights, should be a few lights. And what does that mean? That's the question. Right? So I think you see where I'm going, but let's just get the question clear. Yehi is talking about one thing. Ma'oros is talking about two things. Is it one light? Is it two lights? We know we have two. So what does it mean that it should be? So the Ramban, actually Rashi already says this, and the Ramban expounds in it more, and Rabbeinu Bachai even more, and the point is like this. When is the first time that we experience light in the 6 days of creation? When is the first time we have the concept of light? So light really was created on day one. Go back to day one in the verse number 3. Vayomer Elokim yehi or. God said there should be light. So if there should be light, that's already on day one. So what's going on over here? Over here on day 4 in verse 14, suddenly God comes up with this seemingly new concept and he says that there should be ma'oros, there should be lights. But what do you mean? Day one, already in verse 3 is yehi or. So what's going on over here? So the Ramban and Rashi explain like this, and this is the underlying theme that we're going to keep on coming back to. And the point is that on day one, everything was created. That's the day of Berea. That's the day of starting from nothing, including light, including heaven, including earth, including everything in them, except that they don't yet have a form. But everything is really created on day one. That means that the concept of light, the real root, the concept of light was created on day one. And you had at that point just light everywhere. It was open light. It didn't have any form. It didn't have like you have a light bulb today, which is very defined. It gives off light in a very specific area. The light of day one was an infinite light. It didn't have any form. It didn't have any dimension. It was just, everything was open. Everything was awake. Everything was light. Then the Ramban writes, on day two, God created a separation. Now, once you have a separation, there's a firmament separating what's going on up there and what's going on down here. Now, there's no light. The light's up there, but it's been blocked. So now we have a block to the light. We still don't have any dry land. Everything is water down here. But the light has not reached the lowest sphere. Now, on day three, God created dry land. He separated the water from the earth. So now we have dry land. But what do you think this dry land looks like? This dry land actually is totally dark. Because there is light, but this light from day one has been blocked by the firmament, which was created on day two. So now that we have earth down here, we actually have earth with no light in it, which is why the commentaries say, we always say, vayihi erev, vayihi boker. It was night and it was morning. Now, why do we say it was night and it was morning? Because night always comes before the morning. And the reason is because when the world was created, it was set up in a way that originally there was no light on earth. On day two and day three, when earth is being formed, the light from the heavens has not reached the earth yet because you have this firmament, which is blocking it. This rakia is stopping all the light from day one from coming down onto the earth, and you have a pitch black earth. Now on day four, God said, and this is amazing. God said on day four that there should be me'oros, not orim, not lights. There should be things giving off light. In the rakia, that means this rakia, which is the thing that is blocking the light from day one from coming down. Now God said there should be an opening in the firmament. And this opening is going to allow the light from day one to filter down into the world, which is incredible. It's an absolutely incredible eye-opening thing that we have the sun and we have the moon, and this is what gives light to the world. Really, in truth, in a deeper sense, the light that's coming into the world is not the sun and the moon. The light that's coming into the world is the light of day one that God created when he said Yehi Or. However, that light couldn't come through because you have a firm firmament blocking the light. So God made a round thing, whatever you want to call it, and he said through this hole, the light from day one will be able to access earth. Now, when we look up, we see a sun. But that sun is full of light because that's the point in the firmament which has been opened to allow light to filter through it from day one. Which means that all the light that we have in the world is really coming from day one, not from day four. Day four, which we call the sun and the moon, is not the creation of light. It's the creation of what you would call ma'oros. Ma'oros is not the light itself. Day one, it says yehi or. There should be light. That's where light's created. On day four, we're going to create things that will give off the light, that will allow the light to go through it. And that is what's going on over here on day four, which is pretty amazing. The Ramban, Nachmanides, he explains further, and he writes like this. He writes, just like we know on earth, there we grow things, we plant things. Now, we all know that there are places on earth which are more open to growth than others. Different areas, different terrain, different places in the world, different climates. There are places where you know that this is a good place to plant this. This is a good place for wine, grapes. This is a good place for oranges. Different parts and different climates have places where this ground will grow this thing better. The Ramban writes exactly the same thing goes on in heaven. That God planted in the heavens, in the firmament, there are places that this place is more susceptible to giving off light. So just like you would grow in the ground, you'd grow a tomato, you would grow a sun in a certain place in the firmament, in the rakia, in the heavens, which is amazing. That means that what's going on in the heavens is that God allowed certain places that they are more open to taking light and reflecting into the world. And that's why that's where the sun is, and that's why that's where the moon is, and that's where the stars are. These are all places where just like you're growing watermelons, you're growing light in these specific places, and they give it off into the earth. And that is what's going on. So if you go back to the question is answered like clear. Because Yehi Ma'oros, it should be lights. What does it mean? Singular. The singular light of day one. Day one is singular. Day one was Yehi Or. There is only one on day one. And that one thing should now filter through the rakia, the firmament, in many different places. And that's going to be what we call today the Ma'oros. So we have many, many lights today, but they're all coming from one light, which is the light that was created on day one. So Yehi Ma'oros, it should be light, means the light of day one should come through this blockage from day two and day three in a few different spots. And therefore, we're going to look up today and we're going to see a sun and we're going to see a moon and billions of stars. But where are they all coming from? They're all coming from one place. That one place was the third verse of creation, Yehi Or, there should be light. So it should be light. I think it's amazing. Point number one. Now we're going to continue along this track before we go a little bit deeper. And the Ramban continues, and Rashi says this too. Now what is the function of these lights that are coming through? The function of them are, they should be la'osas in verse 14. V'hayu la'osas, they should be for signs. What does it mean that they should be for signs? So Rashi writes that if we want to know if God is happy with us, if he's upset with us, we take a look at what's going on up there in the firmament. We look at what happens with the sun and the moon. So when there's an issue with the way the light's coming into the world, that's a window, a sign into knowing, are we in trouble or are we not? So there's certain things that come when the sun and the moon act in a certain way, and when God blocks them, and when there's less light, and when there's more light. And that's a sign, that's a window for us to see what's going on beyond that in the heavens. So that's what it means that it should be for a sign. What does it mean that it should be l'mo'adim? That should be for times. So this we have from Rashi. That Rashi writes that these mo'adim mean the seasons. That means we have four seasons in the year. What causes these four seasons? That comes from the sun and from the moon. And they are what cause what you call the four seasons. So that's the second function that the sun and the moon are going to do. The third thing is l'yamim. They're going to make days. They're going to make day and they're going to make night. The sun is the day, the moon is the night. That's the third thing they'll do. Vashanim is yours. That means that the moon and the sun will each cycle, one at 30 days, one at 365 days. But the makeup of a year will be made up of a cycle of these lights. So what we call today a year will be made up of a certain cycle, and that comes from the sun and the moon. The year that we have comes from the sun. The moon will cycle at 30 days. That's not really mentioned in this verse, but let's put that aside for now. So what we have so far is we have lights that were created. These lights are coming from day one. They're filtering through the firmament, which blocked them. And now we have light coming through in a few different places. The purpose of these lights is to do four things. Show us what's going on in heaven. Those are the signs. Make the seasons, make day and night, and make the cycle of the year. And that is, you can call it track number one, layer number one in understanding what's going on over here with these lights. Now, Rabbeinu Bach.
What's the four? You said what's going on in heaven?
The years.
The cycle of a year.
So Rabbeinu Bachai over here, he gets very, very deep, and I will do my best to make it not so deep. But I'm going to make it a little bit more general. I'm not going to go into all the detail that he says. But he goes on and he has a whole different track over here, which like we will always be saying that this different track is not a contradiction. It's just another layer of meaning to the same verses that we just read. And he says that these lights that we're talking about over here are not referring to physical light. They're not referring to the sun, and they're not referring to the moon until we get to later. But right now, and it says Yehima Oros, and it says that God made the big lights, it's not referring to the physical lights that we have. And this is referring to a very spiritual light. That means like this. On day one, God created light. The light of day one was infinite. Everyone understands that when we talk about infinite light, we're referring to a light that's just open revelation. It's not a... When we have a light bulb today, like I said before, you're looking at a very specific thing. When you have open light, you're talking about spiritual revelation. Your eyes are opened. Your eyes are looking at everything in one shot. You're seeing reality the way it really is. I one time heard from Rav Moshe Shapiro, a very, maybe you can call it a provocative statement, but he one time said over, he said that the light that we have today in the world, what we call, you know, what you would say the light bulb, he said that light is actually a product of darkness, not light. He says the reason is like this, because light is supposed to open things up. The light bulb that we have today, what it does is it says focus here, which inherently means that you're not going to see anything else. So when you have a dark room and you put on a light in one specific spot, what that light is doing is making you look at one area of your home, wherever it may be. What about everything else that's dark? That's not what really light is. What light really means is infinity. Light means that you see everything. You see totality. You see a whole picture. Whenever you're looking at a defined, limited thing, you're not really seeing light. You're really seeing a little bit of product of darkness because you're seeing a very limited version of reality. So imagine there would be a light on us and we would only see our noses, right? And you ask somebody, do you really see the person? You say, I only see his nose. I don't see the person. But when the light's open and we see everything, you say, oh, now I get the full picture. Now it's light. The same is true with the world. The light that we have today is so limited in what we could see that that light is not really what you call light. Real light means that everything is open. Our sages teach us that when Adam was created, he was able to see from one end of the world to the other. Now what that means is it doesn't just mean that he had amazing eyesight and amazing vision. What it means is that the light that he was accessing was the type of light that wasn't limited. It was the type of light that saw the reality in totality. It saw the entire picture. And when you see the whole picture, you're not looking at this, and I'm not looking at that. I'm looking at everything. When we look at something, when there's a wall in front of me, I don't see past it. I'm very limited in my vision. My light is very limited. But the light of day one was an infinite light. Now here comes the secret. This infinite light that was created on day one, which is a spiritual understanding and closeness to God that allows us to understand reality the way it really is. That light was given to us on day four that we could all access. And that is what's going on day four. Because like we said, on day two and day three, everything was cut off. On day four, God said, I'm going to open up the heavens and I'm going to allow humanity down here on earth to access this infinite light, but they're not going to be able to access it at any time. And it's not going to be available to everybody. It's only going to be available to four groups of people. And those four groups of people are the signs, the seasons, the days, and the years. So we're going to take a look at those four categories that we mentioned before, and we're going to understand them very differently. Yehi ma'oros b'rikei ha'shamayim. This light should be in the firmament. It's referring to a spiritual infinite light. And this light is going to be for four people. Number one, this light is going to be given access to la'osos, those who keep God's signs. And Rabbeinu B'chai writes something incredible. He writes that there are certain commandments that we do, but these commandments are called signs. Does anybody know this? Anyone want to write something in the chat? There are certain commandments that we do that these are called the signs that we're a Jew. They're not just regular commandments. They're not just regular mitzvahs. These are things that we do that are called osos. They're called signs. So one of them that we have is keeping Shabbos. Tefillin. Thank you. Tefillin is one. There's one other one if anyone wants to try and get it. There's another one that we do which is called a sign. We have mezuzah. I believe, does it say mezuzah is a sign? Offhand, trying to remember what the verse says. Very possibly, I don't remember offhand. The other one that I'm thinking of that they write is circumcision, bris milah. That's called the sign on the body. So we have the bris milah, we have the tefillin, we have Shabbos. These commandments are signs. And those who keep these signs, and by the way, when we talk about tefillin and circumcision, which are things for male only, that does not mean that they are only for males. What that means is that the male is the one that's fulfilling the commandment, but when the male fulfills that commandment, that will bring the light to anybody who's connected to that male. So it's not limited to the male. Now, those who keep those signs specifically will be given access to a different type of light in the world, which means something unbelievable. That means there are people walking around here on this earth. And you ask them, what type of light do you see? So we would say, I have the light from the sun and I have the light from the moon. And there's really a whole different program going on. And we have to realize that that light that we're seeing from the sun and the moon is very limited. Like I said, it's great. Without it, we won't be able to see. But we're looking at a very limited view of reality. Somebody who connects to God, someone who keeps these signs, somebody who keeps Shabbos to the best of his or her ability, has access to a whole different light. And when was that light created? On day four. On day four, when God said that it should be lights, God was giving the ability for a Jew that keeps these signs to see a different reality. And that's why we have a concept that people that study Torah have a different type of vision. Right, many of us know the concept that we would go and ask a Torah sage his advice on even a business venture. We would ask his advice on how to deal with something in life which is very practical, which isn't something necessarily related to Torah. And the answer is because those who keep God's signs see reality in a much bigger picture. Now, where are they getting this reality from? Where do they see this? How exactly are they seeing things differently? And the answer is they're seeing things differently because they are looking at the world in a different light, literally, than other people are. And where do you get this light from? Where do you buy this light? The answer is you buy it on day four. Where God said, v'hayu l'ma'oros, that there should be lights, which is a whole different sphere of light. Now, let's go on to the next part. The next part of this light is l'mo'adim, which means seasons. Then it comes for days and for years. Now, I'm going to say this very general. I'm not going to get into the specifics. We do need to move on. But the point is like this, that there will come a point in time where every one of us will merit this light. Some of us merit down here in this world. And that's for people that keep the signs. There are people, everybody at some point in their life will merit this light. And that is when the soul will leave the body and the soul goes up to the world of souls. And from there, he goes into detail. It goes to that world, to the next world, to the next world, to the next. Next world, until the soul reaches a world which is called light. There's a world up there which is called, the name of that world is light. And he says that that light comes from a world which is called life. Eventually, well, he goes into very technical detail, and I do not want to spend too much time in it, but the point is that When we talk about seasons and we talk about days and we talk about years, we're referring to many, many different types of Jews who will all merit this light of day four, which is coming from the light of day one, at different periods. Some will merit it down here in this world if they keep the signs. Some of them will merit it right away. They'll go straight to the world to come. Some of them have got to go through a process until they reach the world to come. But eventually, through different seasons, through different days, through different years, we hope that we will all get to this light of day four, which, like I say, really comes from the light of day one. So just to clarify, we have two understandings of these verses. Number one is we're talking about physical lights, and these physical lights are coming from the light of day one. They're filtering through the firmament in the openings of the rakia. And that's why the original light split into a few, or we're referring to a very spiritual light, which refers to a very strong reality, a very different vision that we could see in this world. And that is available to those who keep God's signs, and it's available to those who keep the signs eventually when they reach a place called the world to come. Now let's try and continue over here a little bit. I mean, I'll just read you one thing before we move on. And next time you say the Sukkah de Zimra on Shabbos, if you look in Psalm Kuf Lamed Vav 136, where we go through the 26 Kila Olam Chastos, where we say that Hodol Hashem Kitov Kila Olam Chastos Hodol Elokei Elokim Kila Olam Chastos. So Rabbeinu Bachai says an amazing thing. If you take a look, it says La Osa Orim Gedolim, to the one who made the big lights Kila Olam Chastos, your kindness is forever. Then we say another one As Hashemesh LeMamshalas Bayom, the one who made the sun. Then we say another one, I say a reach, the one who made the moon, and the stars, to rule at night. So we have three things. We say to the one who made the lights, we thank you. To the one who made the sun, we thank you. To the one who made the moon, we thank you. Isn't that repetitive? So Rabbeinu Bachai writes, because King David was talking about three different types of lights. When he wrote those, La'ose Orim Gedolim, to the one who made the big lights, he wasn't talking about the sun and the moon. He was talking about the spiritual light. And for that, we thank you. And then he spoke about the sun. And then he spoke about the moon. But the first quote, La'ose Orim Gedolim, Klo Olam Chastei, is actually referring to a spiritual light, which is available, like I said, that we could go through this world with a very limited vision. But we could also access a whole different sphere. We could access a vision and an understanding of life, which comes from a place of infinite light. And that's called La'ose Orim Gedolim. Okay, so let's move on over here a little bit and let's try and cover a little more ground. Where are these lights placed? The sun, the moon, the spiritual light, whatever you want to call it. Where is it placed? So they're placed in the rakia. They're placed in the firmament. Now, why out of all places are we going to place them over there? So on a simple level, we explained already, because the firmament was originally what was blocking it from coming down. And now we made an opening in this blockage to allow the light to filter through. Says Rabbeinu Bachai, on a deeper level, something amazing. We spoke about the numbers 1, 2, and 3. Now we said that 1 refers to unity. We said that 2 refers to the split, disunity, when the 1 splits into 2. Then we said that day number 3 is when you take the 2 pieces and you actually combine them together, and now you have unity once again. Now if we follow this pattern, what's day number 4 going to be? Day number 4 is going to be once again disunity. This is how it's going to go. 1, 2. 1, 2. 1, 2. 1, 2. That's the way the world is going to go. 1 is unity. 2 is when you split. 3 is when you put it together. Day 4 is when you, instead of putting those 2 pieces together, what you do is you take those 2 and you split them again. So now you have 4 pieces. 5, we're going to try and put it together again. We're going to keep on splitting, uniting, splitting, uniting. Which means, in the words of Rabbeinu Bachai, that day number 1 and day number 3 are the same. Day number 2 and day number 4 are the same. 2 and 4 are both unity, are both disunity. 1 is it split into 2. Then if you split those 2 again, you now have 4. This is incredible. What was created on day 2? On day 2, which is the day of the split, was created the rakia. The rakia, the firmament, is what made the first split, the first disagreement in creation. It split the waters from on top to the waters on bottom. So the rakia is the symbol of the disunity in the world on day 2. Day four, once again, we're making two. And this time we're going to make Ma'oros. We're going to make a sun and we're going to make a moon. There's going to be day, there's going to be night, there's going to be seasons. Once again, everything is going to be split. Where are you going to put the item that you created of this unity on day four? You're going to put it in the item of this unity that was created on day two, which is in the Rakia. Isn't that amazing? The Ma'oros, of course, are going to be put Birakia Hashemayim, because this unity is going to be connected to this unity. Day two, the Rakia, the firmament, is what made the first split. Day four is when they split again. And this time they're going to split again into four. And we'll talk about it, how we have four seasons. We have four parts to the day. And day four is actually when two is splitting again into four. So, but they're going to be connected because they're both coming from the root of this unity. So now we're going to put the Ma'oros, which is the split of day number four, and we're going to tie that, intertwine it into the Rakia, which is the split of day two. That's what Rabbeinu Bahai writes. I think it's incredible when you see the symmetry of creation, how one is three and two is four. Another point over here, which we have to talk about, and that is like this. That God said that these Ma'oros, these lights, should do three things. They should give light. They should create the concept of, they should rule. They should rule over earth. We'll talk about that in a minute. And the other thing is that they should make a separation between day and night. Now, the concept of them ruling, where if you take a look in verse 16 actually, says that God made the two lights. He made the big one, he made the small one, and he made them lemimshal hasayom. They're going to rule over the day. Verse 18, it says, v'limshal bayom v'alayla. They're going to rule over day, and they're going to rule over night. The concept of them ruling means that the sun and the moon are going to have a direct effect of what happens down here on earth. And they're going to be split like this. The sun, Rabbeinu Bahai and the Ramban write, is going to be responsible for all things that of heat. Anything regarding heat is going to come from the sun, obviously. Anything regarding growth down here on earth, anything growing is going to come from the sun. The moon is responsible for anything related to water, anything related to wetness. Now, we know this today, I believe, but the moon is responsible for, I believe, the tide, right? The water's coming in, the water coming out. It's responsible for making things cold in a certain way. It's a little bit the opposite of the moon, of the sun. And it's responsible for anything wet. So the sun is anything dry, anything hot. The moon is anything wet and anything cold. And that's what it means, that the sun and the moon are going to rule over earth. They're going to directly affect the heat and the cold and the things growing and the rivers and the oceans. All is going to be ruled by the sun and by the moon. What does it mean that God said that they should give light to the earth? So we think, of course, what do you mean? If you have a sun in the sky, of course that sun is going to give light to the earth. But the commentaries explain that didn't have to be the case. It's only the case because God said it should give light to the earth. But you could have had a sun in the sky, and you could have had, the commentaries say that there are many other lights that take place in the sky that don't come to earth. They don't reach us. There are actually five different lights that they talk about that we only have one of them, the light of the sun. And the sun could have been responsible for, very good, Hashem knew about global warming before we did. Excellent. Yes, that's an old concept coming down from all the way at the beginning. Very good. So the point is that it could have had a sun and you could have had a moon that were responsible for things growing on earth. It could have been responsible for growth. It could have been responsible for the oceans, but you wouldn't see a drop of light from them. The only reason why we have light is because God said that this sun, besides for ruling, besides for making a separation, should give light to earth. That is why we have light down here on this earth. So I want to share with you one other big point over here from day four. And if we have time, we'll do a fourth. But let's talk about one other big point. That is like this. If you look at the wording of the verse, it says, God put them, if you look in verse 17, Vayitan oso malokim baruki hashamayim, God placed them in the firmament, le ha'er, to give light. To give light to the earth. If you look in verse, let's go back to, one second over here. If you look in verse 18, v'lim shol, that they should rule. U'la havdil, they should separate. It's an interesting way of saying it. They should do something. Not that they're doing the function itself, but that they should sort of go through them, this function. I'll explain to you better what I'm saying. I believe it's Rabbeinu Bachai. He explains like this. We know that there's a concept of people that don't believe in God. And we know that there's a concept called idol worship. And one of the big places, one of the big areas of idol worship is serving the sun and serving the moon. That means that we look up at heaven and we see that, like we just said in the verse, that the sun is ruling the earth and the moon is ruling the earth. And it truly is the case, because anything wet is coming from the moon. Anything dry is coming from the sun. So you look up and you understand the science and you say, hey, wait a second. The sun and the moon are really what's making day and they're making night, and that's what's ruling the earth. So how about I serve the sun and I serve the moon? Not that I'm going to serve them in the sense that I'm going to talk to them necessarily, but I believe that the power of what's going on down here, that my fate is very much going to be decided by the sun and by the moon. And God made the world in a way specifically that we could make such a mistake. We know that's not the case. We know that God created these things and he sends things through them. That is, of course, you're right. If you look up, you're going to see that the sun did this function and the moon did another function. But if we look even deeper, you'll see that what's making them do that function, something on top of them. And if you look at the thing on top of it, you'll see what's making that thing do its function, the thing on top of it. And you keep on tracing it back until you're going to get to day one of creation. And when you get to day one of creation, you're going to say, and who created day one? God created day one. And if you trace all these powers back, you're going to get back, like I say, to day one. And from day one, you'll get back to God. But there is room to make a mistake and say, I'm not going to look beyond a certain point. Right? If somebody has a secretary who does their work for them, so the person on the other line who the secretary is calling may choose to ignore the boss and say, listen, the secretary called me and told me to do X, Y, Z. That means that the secretary is in charge. We know that the boss is in charge, sending messages through his or her secretary. That's exactly what's going on with the sun and the moon. God created the sun with power. He created the moon with power. But who is the one giving the sun and moon power? God. But if we choose not to look past it, we're going to get stuck and we're going to say, the sun is doing this. That means that the sun is God. So the point is like this. We explained that really the sun and the moon don't have light. They're not really a light on their own. They're just ma'oros. They give off light. Where did they get their light from? They got their light from day one when God created light. And where did that light of day one come from? Godliness. So everything is God. So if we look at the sun, you're going to see light. But if you look deeper, you'll see that the sun isn't really a light. It's just a ma'oros, something that gives off light. And that's why the wording in all these verses is always, God made them leha'ir, to give off light. From where? From something deeper. V'lem shol, that they should give off rulership. From where? From something deeper. U'la havdolan, they should cause separation. But what's giving them the power for all these things? For separation. What's giving them the power to give off light? What's giving them the power to rule? Not the things themselves. The sun alone is nothing. The moon alone is nothing. They're coming from something on top of it. And where's that thing on top of it getting it from? What's on top of that? And keep on going and keep on going until you reach God. So I'm going to read you a verse. And this verse is in Parshas Va'es Chanan. Beautiful verse. And we'll try and understand it based on what we're saying, hopefully in a deeper fashion. So this is a verse in Devarim, chapter 4, verse 19. 9:14 in the book of Devarim. And it says like this, "Upantisa einecha shamayma." There may come a time where you're going to lift up your eyes to heaven. "Ra'isa hashemesh," and you're going to see the sun. "Ba'asa yarech," and you're going to see the moon. "Ba'asa kochavim," and all the stars. "Kol tzavar shamayim," all the hosts of heaven. "V'nidachla," we're going to go astray. "V'shtachavisa lehem," and we're going to start bowing down to them. "V'avatatam," and we're going to serve them. And then the verse says these big words, "Ashechalak Hashem alokecha osam," God separated them, "l'chol ha'amim," to all the nations of the world, "tachas kol ha'shamayim," God separated the sun and the moon to all the nations of the world that live underneath the heaven. And then the verse says, "v'eschem lokach Hashem," but you, the Jewish people, God took you, But Yotziascha Mikor Abrazel Mimitzrayim, when he took you out of the iron pot of Egypt, Lios lo la'am machla kayom hazeh, to be for him as an inheritance like today. Listen to how Rabbeinu Bachai explains this verse. The verse says that God separated the sun and the moon and gave the sun and the moon to all the nations. But us, the Jewish nation, he took for himself. Says Rabbeinu Bachai that God set up the world in a way that any person in the world can make a mistake. And he separated the sun and the moon that it looks like a separation. That there could be a big mistake, and anyone in the world, from the nations of the world, who would like to make the mistake, go ahead and make the mistake. Try it. You could do it. No problem. If you want to live your life serving the sun and the moon, God will not stop them. Because he set them up in a way that we could stop right there. And he could say, the sun's in charge and the moon's in charge. But to us, he said, I took you out of Egypt. And when I took you, and you were the ones who accepted the Torah, and we were the ones that stood at Mount Sinai and heard God say, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem your God. And in that moment, what God did to us was that deep down, we never have the ability to get stuck at the mistake. We may get stuck for a little bit at the mistake, but at some point, God will awaken us and make us realize that he is the one who's in charge of everything in the world, even though it looks like he separated them as their own powers. There's a verse that says, Se'u marom aneichem, lift up your eyes to heaven, Uru'u and see me bara ela. Who created this? And the commentaries and the Kabbalists talk about this verse a lot. Now what it means is that this world is full of stuff. Like we keep on talking about. God created this. He created 1, 2, 3, 4 sun, moons, billions of stars. And it's all things. But we need to look at the root of all those things. And that's what I really hope we are accomplishing by going through the days of creation. And we're saying, yes, there are things, but who created those things? For anyone out there, just for 30 seconds, anybody appreciates this? One of the names of God is called Elohim. Elohim. Aleph Lamed Hei Yud Mem. The Kabbalists explain that the root of the word Elohim comes from the word Mi Ela. Who are these? Elohim, if you do the write down the letters, you'll see you can split up the word Elohim into Mi Ela. Because that is what Elohim means. Elohim means is that I am the one who made these Ela, these things, these sun, this moon. I am the one. I'm the one, the me Ela. I'm the one that made them. And that is the purpose of creation. For us to see the things, day four, once again, is a day of disunity. But to take it all, to take the sun and to take the moon and all the stars and say that all of them are just vehicles to allow God to send his light through them into this world. But don't make a mistake and think that they on themselves have any power. So I have 2 more minutes and I just want to say one more point. And the point is like this. Day number 4, the lights were created. Now Rabbeinu Bachai writes that every single aspect of the lights themselves were created on day number 4 because by essence they are 4. And this is amazing. He writes like this. The lights, they create the day and the night. Now we know that the day is split into 2. You have the morning, you have the afternoon. The night is split into 2. You have the night and you have the second half of the night from midnight and on. Which means that if you go through the day, a 24-hour cycle, we're actually going to split it into 4. Which means that the day itself is actually made up of 4. The lights are created on day 4 and their effect is 4 parts to the day. Let's keep on going. There are 4 weeks in the month, basically. Again, we have a number 4. There are 4 seasons in the year, all created by the sun and by the moon. Which means that every element of what was created on day 4 gave birth and multiplied into numbers of 4. Because the essence of day number 4, like I said, is things splitting from 2 into 4. They're splitting and they're splitting again. When they do that, they're going to make the day split into 4. They're going to make a month split into 4, and they're going to make a year split into 4, because every part of them, what they're going to do is it's going to split into 4. And God, let's just end off with this, that God created all this, and it says he saw that it was good. What was good about all of this? Rabbeinu Bachai writes, because people are going to see the world, and we're going to look at all the contrasts, and we're going to look at, we have a world where the sun is doing the opposite thing of the moon. where light is doing the opposite of darkness, the seasons are opposing each other, and somehow everything comes together in perfect symmetry. How is all that possible? There must be a mi'ela. There must be somebody who is running all these things. And that's why the sun and the moon are good. You know why light and darkness are good? Because when we see light and we see darkness and we see all the opposing parts of the world, all the seeming disunity, and we see how everything is working out perfectly, that tells us that there's a creator to all these things. And when we down here realize that there's a creator, that is our purpose, and that is when we're going to say the words, Ki Tov, it's good, because that is what is good in the world. What's good in the world is when we're forced to realize that there's too much disunity for it to be even possible. We have two and we have four, and there's so much opposing, there's so much opposition in the world, there's so many opposite forces pulling it in one way. You have the sun, you got the moon, you got the stars, the different planets, you have the firmament, you have so many different things going on, and all of them seem to be different, separate, opposing, but work in perfect symmetry. The only thing we could do is think deeper and say that there must be a Yahi, a one thing that created all these things, and that is God. And when we do that, God says the words, Vayara Lakem Kitov. So let's just summarize what we spoke about. I think it was a little bit different tonight. We broke it into more parts. So the basic idea of what we spoke about is that the light of day four comes from day one, and that's why it starts in singular. God made openings in the firmament, a few different ones, which allow the light to come through. That makes the seasons, it makes the days, it makes the years, it makes signs of what's going on in heaven. We spoke about a deeper understanding that this light refers to a spiritual light. We explained that the spiritual light means that we are able to see reality in a deeper way, in a way that's more open, that's not as limiting as the light of the light bulb. And that's available to those that keep God's signs. And it's available to all of us when we get to the place of infinite light, which we call today the world to come. We spoke about how God commanded them to give light to the earth. He commanded them to rule over the earth, the sun in its way, the moon in its way. And all of this is just passing through them. All of it is just going through the sun and going through the moon. It's not that they have their own power. He allowed the nations to make a mistake. But we have to be the ones to say, Mi Elo, who is the one that created all these things? It's all coming from one source. It's all coming from one root. And that is coming from God. And when we do that, then God says, Ki Tov, this is good, because this is the purpose of creation. Thank you all. And looking forward to day five, a big day coming up, like every day is, I guess. And we'll see you next week, 7:10. And please reach out to me with questions, comments, feedback. Thank you all so much.